Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to another episode of Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today we're going to talk about what I see going on in the real estate market. I might have mentioned on the last episode that I was going to Colombia for a little while, and I was going to try to record while I was there, but I was so busy trying to take care of business and get things situated for my visa. So I was there for a bit. It's completely different with trying to do business in Colombia, man. In like any country, man, like technology is a huge thing. I always say, or you might have heard me say in previous podcasts, like technology replacing people's jobs is like a first world country thing, because it is, man. Trying to do anything as far as like opening a bank account in Colombia was just difficult. Even with like renewing my business, I couldn't do it online. I had to go into the Chamber of Commerce while I was there. The cool thing about me going into the Chamber of Commerce, I was in there with the president of Colombia, President Duque. I was like, it was insane, because when I was going up there, it was so many police, but I mean, heavy with police. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And so we get there, you know, we hop out, we get in the elevator, and we go up, and it's just police guarding the elevator, or just different places in the Chamber of Commerce. But it was still open. So you, like, the president was in the room. As soon as you got the elevator, he was sitting in a room right there in front of us doing like a banquet or something. It was maybe 30 people in there. They had like 5 police on each side of the door, inside and then 2 outside. But it was just crazy that in Colombia, you could just conduct business as is in the building where the president is. So, you know, he was in one room. You can clearly see him right there chilling out, hanging out, eating. And then across the hall, I was in there renewing my business in Colombia. And it was just like another day in the office, which I was like, this is insane. In the States, you know, the whole building would be locked down. The whole neighborhood would be locked down. And it was just like, you know, regular old day. But anyway, back to it. Doing business abroad, and I always tell you guys to do this. I think you guys should diversify in other countries. Just know that it's not going to be as easy as it is where you are, depending on where you are. It could be easier depending on what country you're in and you're going to, say, Colombia from Somalia or something. I don't know. But it's completely different. So just be prepared for, like, that type of stuff. Once you get it down, it's easy. But just that process, man, 3 or 4 days, it was just a headache. I didn't want to do anything. Just from me opening a bank account, it was so difficult that when I came back to my place, I was like, man, I'm done. I'm done for the day. I don't want to do anything else just from trying to open up a bank account. Because you go to the bank and you go to one location, one person tells you one thing. You can go back to that same location and see somebody else and they'll tell you something else. I mean, I went in there and sat down with one banker and she gave me a list of what I needed. Matter of fact, she just emailed it to me and told me, like, all right, go ahead. And, you know, go. And I had the documents with me. I just had to get my updated chamber papers. I get back, get all this stuff. I couldn't transfer money to my accountant because I didn't have an ATM card. And over there, it's pretty cool that you can go to the bank and just take someone's account number and deposit it in their account through the ATM machine. Like, that's how they transfer money over there. Like, you can't. Anyway, I'm not going to get into how the whole payment system works, but it's so outdated. But anyway, so I went in, got everything that she wanted me to get. And then I went back to the same branch. I emailed her the paperwork, by the way, and she never hit me back. That can happen in the U.S. That's nothing, a big deal. But I go back. I go in there. I see the lady sitting right next to her office. She went to lunch and she saw me. She didn't say anything, but she went to lunch. And so this other girl, I gave her everything. And then she told me I needed something else. So I had to take an Uber all the way back to my place to try to find this document that the initial lady said I didn't need. And so then I was like, you know what? This doesn't make any sense. Because this lady told me this. My attorney told me what I needed. I had that. So then I just went to another branch that wasn't as far from my place. And they opened my account. And it's like, what? It's crazy like that, man. So it's just understand that you're going to have these different problems with trying to do business over there. Or just anywhere, man. Just know that, you know, it's not going to be like the States and being able to do certain things online. But all in all, you know, I left Columbia, hit Florida, went to Georgia, saw my parents, and I came back. I'm in LA right now. I just got back like a day ago. But I wanted to hop on here because I do believe there's going to be a global recession just based on what I see in Columbia. And that's the benefit of traveling abroad and not being in the States. You get to see what's happening overall and, you know, seeing things that are going on in a third world country that supplies a lot of the goods to other countries, depending on where you are. We're definitely in a recession, regardless of what they want to say. We're in a recession based on the economic activity that I've seen in Colombia, obviously from what I've seen in the States as well, but it's just not mainstream yet. So real estate is going to be really good. I, you know, with them raising interest rates the way they are, there's going to be a correction. And you might have heard me say on a podcast that I did in December, I can't think of the name of it right now, but I said that by the time April or between April and May, but between April and June, there was going to be a huge correction in the market. And that actually happened. It happened and it started in the middle of April, just like I said. And it's going to obviously get worse because they're going to keep increasing rates. So with that, I wouldn't be deploying capital into any market. You know, I saw this guy the other day say on YouTube, like if you keep deploying capital into the stock market and it keeps dropping, you might want to stop putting money into the stock market. The same thing with the housing market. There's more houses coming to the market. Foreclosures are up 157% right now. And we're at the beginning of this. You see all the layoffs with Netflix, Robinhood, Wells Fargo, all these mortgage companies are laying off employees because there's no need for them because no one's doing refinances, no one's doing mortgages. And the other company that I mentioned, Netflix, people are actually deciding not to spend the $14 a month because it's not worth it. And that's how you know we're heading into something that's going to be really bad. When people stop spending or they don't have the luxury to spend $8 to $10 or $14 a month on Netflix, man, that's a problem. That's a real bad problem. And credit card debt is at an all-time high. It's up 17 or 20% higher than it was before the pandemic. So people are still trying to keep up with this certain lifestyle, even though we have raging inflation and interest rates are going higher. So people's credit card debt is also going to be harder to pay down because their interest rates going up, but people are steady spending. So it's going to be bad. So if you look at them raising rates and you look at, you know, people not being able to do refinances and things like that, because why would you do a refinance if your rate was at 2%, and now if you do a refinance to pull cash out, you're going to be at like 6%, right? That would be stupid. Even though you would be able to get that money, it's going to make your payment go up substantially higher. So it's not even worth it. So people aren't doing refinances anymore. People aren't going out here and getting houses because, again, rates were at 2 and 3. Now they're at 6 and 7. That's just going to be all bad for the housing market. So a lot of people say we're going to have a crash in the housing market. I don't think we're going to have a crash. I honestly think we're going to have like a 25 or 30% correction. Maybe in the next 6 to 12 months, we'll see this correction starting to happen. I mentioned previously on a podcast that I saw that maybe like 4 months ago, I saw that prices were getting cut. So I was telling one of my friends who's a real estate agent, I'm like, bro, they're starting to do price cuts on the West Coast. And he's like, oh man, that don't mean anything. I'm like, yes, it does, because in the last recession or the last economic crash, they started on the West Coast. And so like when me seeing price cuts that started happening here 4 months ago, that's the indicator that they're going to start happening everywhere. And so I'm just looking at different markets, you know, to try to get into it as far as buying opportunities and just to see what they're doing. And Vegas has a ton of houses that are for sale, but no one's buying. I mean, within a, I don't know, 20-mile radius, I had to see more than like 1,000 homes that were for sale. So people are trying to get rid of their homes at the top of this euphoric phase in the economic cycle that we're in. If you look on a chart and see the phases of the economic cycles, there's a euphoric phase. And that's when we're at the peak of the market boom. And then once you hit that euphoric phase, there's a serious dip off or decline in the chart. And you will see that it goes in cycles. You'll have a euphoric phase where everybody is trying to buy everything. Like you saw with crypto, was at an all-time high. Stocks were at an all-time high. Real estate was at an all-time high. And everyone was continuously the shoe shine boy, the people at the grocery store was all trying to get into the market. Random people texting me, what kind of stock should I buy? This is an indicator that we've gone too far. And so now that's what you see. And what was happening when I was telling you about people just asking about what to invest in, that was about 3 months ago. And I think I was in the grocery store and I heard the person at the cash register talking about buying stocks. And I'm like, oh man, it's time to sell. And I sold a lot then. And I still, you know, most of the stuff that I have in the market now is, you know, it's commodity related and it's down as well. I'm probably down 30% for the year, but that's all money that I made that's just sitting there. It's not none of my capital. Every now and then I'll deploy, you know, maybe a $500 or $600, $1,000 into buying option contracts, but I'm not moving heavy money into the market. That's just me buying or dollar cost averaging on some stocks. But it's not my bulk of my money anymore. It's like I made my money and I got out. So this is just, you know, money from gains, which is a good thing. You know, I always say it's not my money, so I don't really care. And some people are like, no, it is your money. You should care. It's, you know, everybody's opinion is different. To me, it's like, that's free money that I made in the market. I took out a lot of profit, and this is just, I'm leaving a runner. I'm just letting it run. But anyway, we're at this phase in the economy. We are the euphoric phase. And so with them continuously raising rates because they have to, they're doing demand destruction to bring all asset prices down, which is going to decrease inflation, which is something that we need. But in my opinion, I have a hard time thinking that the Federal Reserve did not know what they're doing. They should have the smartest economists in the world, in my opinion, working at the Federal Reserve. As much as they want to say back in the day that this is transitory, this is going to end, I think they were trying to create inelastic demand in the markets because they wanted to increase taxes and do all these different things. I think they wanted to do this because you might have heard me say before, 20% of all the houses that were bought in 2021 were through crypto winnings. So they got taxed on the crypto money that they made. They got taxed on the houses that people bought and sold. Like they made a lot of money on taxes. So I feel like they created this inelastic demand in the market. And I don't think they meant for it to get this out of control, or they did because they made money on all of these asset bubbles and they made money on inflation. Inflation is an invisible tax on everybody, you know, and it's more on people that don't have a lot of money. Like the poor get hit the worst because, you know what I mean? If inflation's 25%, which it probably is, and you didn't get a raise in your household expenses went up 20%. I mean, that's a lot. No one in that demographic can sustain that. So they're creating these, you know, different issues with the economy because it's hard for me to believe that the economists that are working at the Federal Reserve did not know what they were doing. So that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. But anyway, back to it. Being that there's 157% increase in foreclosures and we're just in the beginning, this is going to be a good opportunity for people. And, you know, somebody was saying, well, why do we want to buy houses right now? I'm like, well, you want to get houses that, are, you know, or people that haven't paid. So, for instance, they did the foreclosure memorandum and the eviction bans and all the stuff like that. So if they prevented those foreclosures from happening for a year, 2 years, and then they had a freeze on payments, so you didn't have to pay anything, that money has to be paid at some point in time. Some people are talking about doing 40-year mortgage loans and stuff like that. But you still, if you're going to do an extension on your mortgage loan for 10 years, they're going to want those arrears paid. And I don't think people have the money to pay those arrears. So with that being said, with these foreclosures increasing, if someone didn't pay their mortgage, just say they're in Georgia and your mortgage is like $800 a month or something like that, and you didn't pay it for a year and a half or 2 years, the person's probably looking at $15,000 to take over a house that someone was living in. So it's probably in good condition. So you pay the $15,000, $20,000, and you get this house, and this house has a ton of equity because they have driven the price up so much with inflation. That is the house that you want to buy, because the house has so much built-in equity because of asset price bubbles. And if this person has had this house for a while and their mortgage is only $800, their mortgage is, if this house was $90,000, and with the inflation it went to 180, and they had the house for like 17 or 18 years, they probably paid their mortgage down to like $40,000. So if they paid their mortgage down to like $40,000, and with inflation it took that asset to like $180,000, and all you could do is pay off the $40,000, that is a nice chunk of profit. So why would you not want to buy that?
Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I could get into real estate investing? You can change this as quickly or as slowly as you want to now. Imagine yourself networking and making new connections in real estate globally, or buying an investment property in a market or country that fits your needs. People do. They know what I'm talking about. And now you can too with InvestFAR. Connect and join the network. Remote investing made safe and easy.
So I was explaining to her, yeah, you want to buy houses like this because the equity is already built in and these people have had these loans for a long time. So if you can get a house that's worth $180,000, the person only owes $40,000 on it, you can sell it for $100,000 and still come out and make $60,000. So regardless of this housing bubble, depending on the market, if you can sell a house, anyone's going to buy a house for $100,000. Like, you can be working at McDonald's or somewhere like that now and afford a $100,000 house on a 30 or 40 year mortgage, which is what they're offering, even at an interest rate of 6%. I mean, your payment's not going to be that high. And so you can sell that house. And then that person, so now you made $60,000 and that person buys a house and they have $80,000 worth of equity in it. Yeah, they're going to buy that house. So in the future, that house, they can refinance that house, because even with a 30% correction, they're going to still have a value of maybe like 130 or 140 in the house if they got it at, you know, if they bought it at 180. Even with a 30% correction, they're still good. So even if you sold them the house for $100,000, you made $60,000, and then the market does correct to $130,000, that person still has $30,000 worth of equity built in, so they're not going to be upside down. That's just my opinion on where I think the housing market is going to go. I'm saying, you know, 25 to 30%, which is not bad. There's still 25% equity built into these houses. The market will probably continue to go down over the next year or 2 years. So it could go back to the levels of where it was, but just in general with inflation, houses appreciate 7 to 10%. So again, even if with there's a correction, the housing market is going to correct and it could go down to 7 or 10%. So you're not going to be upside down in the house. I don't see that even being a possibility right now. You know what I mean? Because the difference between this market collapse or correction is that these people don't have adjustable rate mortgages. So they're not in these houses upside down like they were previously in the 2008 economic collapse. So I still think real estate is where people should be at. So it's going to be really hard to make money in the stock market right now, because it's probably going to trade sideways for the next couple months because of what they're doing with the demand destruction. So I think you should not be hopping into the stock market right now, you know, and if you are, you're going to, again, I'm going to keep saying get into commodities, because if the price of food is going up, corn is going to get more expensive. You know what I mean? Like if they're India, they said they're not going to export any more wheat. So yeah, bread, oatmeal, like all of these things are going to go up. It's just basic stuff. So if you're going to invest in something like that, that makes sense. If you're going to invest in a house, wait, don't get a house that you got to flip and, you know, rehab, because who's going to buy it? No one can buy it because the interest rate is super high. So it's in your best interest to get a house, like what I'm saying, because it's a win-win. The bank gets to get rid of an underperforming note. The person that is about to go in foreclosure, you get to save that person. They can go and, you know, buy another house or rent a house or do whatever. Because if they go into foreclosure, they can't buy another house for 7 years. So that person saved. And then in addition, you make money saving that person. The bank's happy. That person's happy. You're happy. And then if you turn around and sell that house to someone else, you know, for 40% less, and you still make 60 or any, if you make over $30,000 selling it to somebody else, that's a win for that person as well. So this is why I think you should get into real estate, because we're going to have another situation. Maybe not this crazy with inflation going this high, but there's always going to be inflation. If the inflation target is 2%, I mean, then that means inflation is really probably going to be 7 to 10% in, you know, realistic terms. So with that being said, housing prices are always going to go up. I was talking to my uncle the other day, and when I was maybe like 8 years old, bread was 50 cent. We literally talked about it. Bread was 50 cent. I mean, you can go and get a Little Debbie snack for like 10 cent. I mean, Little Debbie now is a dollar for one. Back in the day, you can get, like I said, two for 50 cent. And bread was 50 cent. And so a loaf of bread now is like $3.48. So with these numbers in mind, you know that everything is going to continuously go up. So buy assets, buy something that is real, buy something that has a tangible, valuable component to it. And so, like, you know, investing in tech stocks and tech companies, with the rates going up the way they are, people are not going to be able to borrow money, and tech companies aren't going to do good. So again, same thing with real estate. They're also bringing back adjustable rate mortgages. So if they bring those back, then watch. This is why I'm saying, like, with real estate, if they bring back adjustable rate mortgages, 5 years from now, we're going to have another crisis, right? And then those people that got these adjustable rate mortgages are going to have an issue, because if you get an adjustable rate mortgage and it's tied to the treasury yields or it's tied to the LIBOR and they're raising interest rates, that means if you had in 2022, if you had a 6% mortgage, by the time 2024 gets here, that mortgage could be at like 8 or 9%. And if you don't get a raise, or if your cost of living increases, like the rate of inflation or the rate with the interest rate, you're going to be screwed. If your income doesn't increase with the cost of living, yeah, man. So these same people that are doing this adjustable rate mortgages, they're going to be potential clients in the next 3 or 4 years. So it's like it's a cycle, man. If you follow economics, you can always make money in real estate, because you're going to always have these cycles. And it's the same thing with the stock market. You know, right now commodities is where it's at, but when they start dropping rates again, then you might want to shift back into tech, because now people can go out there and borrow the money again to start putting into their businesses. So just know that these rates going up are going to be very adverse on the economy, man. And I just think real estate is where it's at, because there's so many different ways that you can get into the real estate game without spending as much money. Like the book, you know, it's out now, Real Estate Investing Diet. Go get it. Barnes & Noble's Books A Million, Amazon, just get it. You know, it's on pre-order until August 2nd. But still, we're in the early stages of this with the housing market. So if you know how to do what I'm talking about, and I break it all down in the book, I break a lot of things down in that book, aside from just this one strategy. So if you know what I'm talking about, by the time we get in the heart of this thing, which I think is going to be September, October, when we have more houses to the market, you'll know how to navigate. You don't want to wait until the time comes to educate yourself on how to do what I'm saying right now. So it'll be in your best interest to try to get the book as soon as possible, so then you know what's going on and you know how to operate in the real estate market when the time comes. Because the more liquid you have, the more the rates go up, the more we're going to have more problems in the economy, the more the stock market is going to go down, the more the houses are going to come to the market. So if you have more capital to deploy, you can get into the stock market. You can buy crypto when it's all-time low. You can buy real estate when it's, you know, basically coming back down. You can buy all these things because, you know, you heard me say the market cycles every 7 to 10 years. This inflation that we're having right now, it's going to happen again. It may be 5 years. It may not be as extreme as what it has been, but you're still going to be able to make money. So, you know, get as much liquid as you can. You will keep hearing me say this because there's going to be a lot of opportunities in the next 6 to 12 months. It could last through the end of the year. It could last 2 years at the rate of what they're doing, because, I mean, they just put this stuff in place. They just started raising rates. So we still got about 3 or 4 months before we feel what they're doing right now. Maybe not the stock market is starting to come down, and that's going to be felt because these people have lost a lot of money. And so now they're going to try to figure out how to recoup it. And so they might get to the point of where they are desperate and they do start selling their houses for basically what I'm saying. So even if a person's a homeowner right now and their house went up, again, I've seen a house that went up $139,000 in 1 month. This person in particular, they could drop the price on that house $75,000 and they'll still come out like $40,000, you know, on top. So you might start seeing houses, you know, people doing stuff like that. So again, I think the best strategy though is the one that I said. I think you try to find these people because you're going to still have people that are in these low income communities or even in the middle class that are going to have to get rid of their house because of all the factors that I'm saying. If they have put money into the stock market, and if you invested in 2020 up to right now in the stock market, you have no idea what you're doing if you were a beginner in that time frame and you didn't educate yourself. Because again, you heard me say this before, you could just throw anything into the market and it went up. That is not the case. That is not how the actual stock market trades. And so with them doing demand destruction, they're trying to level everything out and bring everything back to normal. And so people have no idea what they're doing. So they're losing a lot of money. And so these people that might have put their money in there, they're trying to figure out now, like, oh, man, I lost $20,000 or $40,000 that I put that I might have had in my savings account that I dumped into the stock market because it's just going up. And they were like, you get these people out here pushing the narrative of buy the dip. But you buy the dip and it keeps dipping. What do? You keep losing more money. And so these people like that are probably going to be the ones who don't have the money to pay their mortgage. You know, I think they said that the salary increases have only been 0.9%. And if inflation's going, you know, just based on what they said at 8.3, 8.5, even with those fake numbers, if you got a 0.9% raise, you're not keeping up with inflation. So this is what I'm saying. Like, we're going to have this. It's happening regardless. And one thing that I also noticed in Colombia, that there is a food shortage. There is a food shortage for sure. That's coming. It's already here. I've been talking about a food shortage for the past 7 months. It's already here. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And so, like, again, all of these factors are something that you guys should take into consideration. I wouldn't be buying anything. I ought to be stacking my cash as much as possible because millionaires, the most millionaires are made during recessions. And it's because of what I just said, because if anybody bought a house in 2010 during that last collapse and they just sat on it until right now, they have killed it. Because just imagine if you bought houses at the lowest of what they could be in 2010, 2011. And here they are up like 65, depending on the market, 100%. And you just had, say you had like 10 or 15 houses. You just became super rich. And so if you sold at the top of the market, like a lot of people did, people just made a lot of money, man. A lot of people made so much money right now, but people are starting to lose a lot of money at the same time. So be on the lookout, man. You guys need to get prepared for this real estate correction and get these houses, get pre-foreclosures. I'm telling you guys, get the real estate and investing diet. That book is going to change your life. And I'm not saying it because I wrote it. I'm giving you the reasons in this podcast on why it's going to change your life. The first two chapters will change your life on a daily basis on what you do as far as mindset and your limiting beliefs around money and things like that. But like the rest of the stuff I give in that book, man, it's crazy. Again, I'm not saying it. Just no, go get the book. I read it again on a plane to Colombia, and I'm like, damn, this is a good book. It is. And then, you know, I've given a couple books away to different people, and they said the same thing. It was like, man, it's a good book. It's an easy read, and they said it's hard to put down. I have never heard anyone give me feedback on the book. I just know that I wrote it, and I know how I felt about it, but any writer is going to feel a certain way about their book. But to get feedback from other people saying, like, yo, this is a good book, like, it's a page-turner. And they were talking about just the first two chapters because I break down my background and where I came from and what I'm doing right now. And it's easy in the beginning, but when I start getting into the intricacies of the real estate, that's when you're going to have to be like, you know what? Let me think about this. I'm going to make you think a little bit. Just so if you get the book in the beginning, it's an easy read. But when I start giving you information on like what I'm talking about right now, you want to go through that thoroughly and you want to take notes. And there's pages in there for you to take notes on. It's like a workbook. So you'll actually be able to integrate all of what I'm saying or all of what you read in the book. But anyway, guys, real estate is going to be where it's at for the next 5 to 10 years. More billionaires or more people that have generated wealth have generated through real estate because, again, if you follow the market, obviously, if you listen to this podcast, you got to be paying attention. If you look at what happened with asset prices, they all went through the roof. If you own assets, what's going to happen? Obviously, you're going to, that's why people get wealthy, because the assets go up. A house that cost $50,000 in 2010 is probably worth $250,000 or $300,000 right now. For example, I was looking at a two bedroom, two bath condo in Orlando in 2012. It was right after the market collapsed and the houses were going for like 50 or 60 grand. And I was like, man, I know this neighborhood because I'll play ball. It's a super really nice neighborhood called Metro West in Orlando. You can look it up. And it was 50 to 60 grand for these condos. And I'm like, this is insane because I know how nice it was. Man, these prices are $270,000 right now. And that was in 2012. So you see what I mean? In like 10 years, you drop 50 and now you're worth $280,000 just by doing nothing. And so if you bought it for $50,000 back then, you're probably paying maybe $600 a month. Man, come on, man. And then if you did a refinance, because rates were a little higher at that point in time, but if you did a refinance, just say, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when rates were 2%, you pull some cash out, if you were smart, and your payment is probably going to be the same as what you were paying at $50,000. Yeah, man, it's like, I was telling my uncle the other day, because he's trying to get into real estate. And he's like, man, I should have refinanced my house, but I didn't understand. You know, I didn't know that I could pull cash out and that I thought my payment was going to go up if I did a refinance. And I'm like, no, your payment's only going to go up if the interest rate's higher. But if the interest rate's lower, your payment wouldn't have went up. And then he said he had a substantial amount of equity. He didn't do it. And so now he missed the boat because now interest rates are back at 6 or 7%. And so he's like, man, I wish I knew that. So that's what I mean, guys. Like, education is everything. So I educated him on that. And so now he's like, man, you know what? He's trying to get a list from his girlfriend who works at the bank on some underperforming notes that we're going to try to reach out to. Because the houses that are in the neighborhood of where I kind of grew up, they're still relatively cheap. I mean, you can get houses for like $50,000 or $60,000. And we looked at a couple houses. This is on Monday or Sunday. We've seen a couple houses where someone had bought it for like 50 grand and then turned around and sold it for 240 because they did rehab. So I was looking at him like, who in the world is paying $245,000 for a house in this neighborhood? People are doing it. So we're like, you know what? If we can get houses for 45 or 50 grand, do some rehab and sell it for 240, or even for sell it for 190, we're still doing good. And so we looked down the street, maybe 3 miles, and a new developer came in. They bought up, I think it was 100 acres of land. And they start doing a new development and they're selling houses for 340 grand. And that's what's driving the price up to these other houses that are 2 miles down the street. So you can sell them for 240,000 if they're rehab. So it's things like this that you got to be paying attention to when it comes to real estate. And so, yeah, that's what our game plan is now, is to try to find these houses, you know, that are not too far from this neighborhood that are still dirt cheap and offer these people some money for them to move out or whatever the case is, because there wasn't that many pre-foreclosures in that area. So we didn't see that, but it's still early. Like I said, it's still early. But if we can go in and just, you know, pay somebody 40 grand for a house that they have and rehab it and sell it for 180, 190, that's still a good deal. Even though I say don't do that, when you're doing numbers like this, that's an exception. You know what I mean? Because basically, what's the difference between me paying $20,000 for a house in arrears and I catch up the payments? I still got to go in there and do 10 or 15 grand, like carpet and paint, countertops, different things like that. So, you know, it's kind of the same, but when you get margins like this, if you don't get margin like that, depending on the market that you're in, sit tight and do the strategy, what I just said, you know, wait for more houses to come to the market and pay off the arrears and take over the mortgage. But anyway, guys, real estate investing diet, I'm going to say it again. I'm just pushing it because I understand the importance of having a knowledge of what I'm saying. In addition to snowball pay downs and different type of refinances and different type of deal structures that I talk about in the book, I think it's a great book to read considering what's coming and what opportunities you'll have for the next five years or so. So that's all I'm saying. But anyway, guys, I wanted to hop on here and do a quick podcast on real estate and what I think is going to happen with the market in the next couple months and how you guys should be prepared. Be on the lookout for a 25-30% correction and just know that we're heading into a global economic crisis and we will have a food shortage. And I always encourage people to go back and listen to my podcast from 2021. Some of them in 2022 were good, but 2021 is where I started diving in on what's really going on in the economy. And if you listen to some of them, I pretty much predicted what's happening right now. So I encourage you guys to go back and listen to some of those. Even as recent as December, not super far back, but December and January, I think you should go listen to some of the ones that I did then. But anyway, guys, I just want to hop on here and do a quick podcast and let you know what's coming. I'll talk to you guys on the next episode. Take care.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast track and put you on a path to full-time investing. The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money. Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.